Good morning, friends. Good morning. A very cheerful greeting to each and every listener of the broadcast. I'm certainly happy to be coming your way once again with a short gospel broadcast. And we're getting along in the year. Here it is November and then December and then the year will be gone. What we do for the Lord this year, we'll have to do it quickly. And isn't that true of life? It just day by day slips away, and before long, it's gone. Gone into eternity, for better or for worse. Today, I'd like to speak to you about something which is somewhat unpopular, and yet it is scriptural, and I consider it vital to our welfare. Listen, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, that's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Especially am I concerned with the prophecy given here by the Apostle Paul. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I believe he knew what he was talking about. I believe he was divinely inspired by the Spirit of God, and that he foresaw in the future that men and women would depart from the truth and seek out teachers and preachers, theologians or Sunday school teachers, maybe orators, and those whose hearts depart from the truth, and yet they would speak beautiful sounding words to tickle the ears of the people. Friend, let me tell you something. What we need is not people to tickle our ears when we depart from the truth. God needs prophets who will point out the sins of the people to them. They need to know that God is holding them responsible for their sins. This scripture here in Romans, I'd like to share with you also in the first chapter of Romans. Now, you know, you can hear about sins, and maybe we'd most of us be agreed that, yes, we believe that sins are wrong and people shouldn't commit sin. But if we never know what sin consists of, if no one ever tells us what is sin and what isn't, then how do we know? Don't you see the difference? Listen, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Now, here are some of the things which the apostle points out which are sinful. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, here it points out sin. I say, when a society or a nation gets to the point to where you dare not turn your back, or someone will rob you, take the money right out of the lady's purse who's shopping in the grocery store, you dare not leave your car on the street unlocked, somebody will break in, take out the equipment that's in it. So, I say these things are wrong, and God is going to hold people responsible for them. We need not think we're going to get by and just go on through life and treat people like we please. God has certain laws and standards and rules. And one scripture said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, let me show you how God used a prophet to speak to David when David had committed an abomination in the sight of God. He'd given away to the lust of his eyes and was guilty of this sin of adultery by taking Uriah's wife while Uriah was out on the battlefield. But let me assure you, this sin did not go by unnoticed in the sight of God. Furthermore, he had caused, David had, Uriah to be put in a dangerous place in the battle where his life was taken. Then he took Uriah's wife to be his own. There's a sentence in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter and verse 27, which stands out above the others. Listen, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Have you a fear of displeasing God? Have you ever taken time to ask yourself the question, is this thing which I am doing displeasing the Lord? You see, many people are seeking their own pleasure more than the will of God. Here again is more of the prophecy which the Apostle Paul spoke of, which should come in the last days. He said, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3:1-4. Now that points out the sins in the catalog, doesn't it? Yet we are seeing it fulfilled before our very eyes in these last days. Friends, there are certain things which displease God regardless of who does them. They may be preacher, Sunday school teacher, or what. But if they are wrong for one, then these things are wrong for others. Now, as I said, David's sin did not go by unnoticed, but all the while God had a true prophet to whom he could entrust his word. Nathan did not spare to tell David the truth. Now, you may go and read in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel how Nathan gave the parable of the rich man who had flocks and herds of his own. But when a traveler came to his home, he sent to the poor man's possessions and fetched from his flock this one ewe lamb, which he had nourished as one of his children. Well, I don't suppose he had much of a flock, but anyway, he got this one lamb. This he prepared for the feast, for the traveler. Well, of course, when David heard this, he became greatly disturbed. In fact, he immediately passed judgment upon such a man as this, for he said, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. You see, these were David's own words now. Yes, he was ready to take vengeance immediately. He thought that was a terrible thing for one to do, and I agree with him. It was. But remember, God had not forgotten the thing which David had done, and it had displeased the Lord. Can you picture David that day standing there while, or sitting there maybe while Nathan stood there before the king in all of his glory? Was Nathan seeking smooth words to tickle the ears of King David? I doubt it. He was no doubt thinking of the charge which God had given him to speak the truth and point out the sins of the king, the same as he would point out the sins of the peasant in the field. Therefore, he made this most powerful statement while no doubt looking David right in the eye. I wonder if he pointed his finger at him when he said, "Thou art the man." He went on to tell David how God had blessed him by delivering both Judah and Israel into his dominion. He gave him the goods of all those lands. Then Nathan said, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?" You see, with God, there's no respecter of persons. He does not condone in one what he condemns in another. He does not sanction in an individual or a nation that which he condemns in his word. In a certain thing, if a certain thing displeased God in David's day, the same thing today still displeases him. The time element does not change the characteristics or righteousness of God. This is also true when sin is found in an individual or a nation. I say the moral aspects remain the same as the years go by. First, as individuals, God hath called upon all to repent of their wickedness. Friends, do you know what our country needs more than anything else today? We speak about the unemployment. We hear about the unemployment. We hear about the inflation rate and the sad state of affairs. Well, this is tragic, yes. But you know, a lot of problems would be solved if our country, the people of our country, would go on their knees in a prayer meeting before God and repent of their sins and turn back to Him. God would help us out. This is what's needed. But as long as there is lying, cheating, stealing, and fraud, sometimes this goes from the head officials right on down to the individual. How can God bless us? Sin is a reproach to any people, but righteousness exalts a nation. Dear ones, may the Lord help us to preach the truth and live by the truth and to let it be known what we stand for. What is your purpose in life? Is it to please yourself? Is it to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of life for just a moment of time? Is it to hide your sins beneath the cloak of religion? Is it to profess to serve God in words and yet in works deny Him? God forbid. Let us have one purpose above all others in life, and that is to do the will of God. Really, that is a successful life. Our Father, bless the message to the good of every listener. Help us not to hide and cover up sin, but help us to go by thy word, repent, confess, and forsake. Bless each listener now in the way which they need, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.